Alone in a Room with Invisible People would like to wish all of its American listeners a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
Your story is waiting for you today. Your story has something new to say. But your story will only come out to play when you're alone. Alone. Alone in a room with invisible people.
The following episode may contain swearing. Alone in a Room with Invisible People is brought to you by hollyswritingclasses.com. Hi, my name is Rebecca Gallardo, and I am the host of Alone in a Room with Invisible People. I am here today with author and teacher Holly Lyle, and today's topic is, what if I don't have talent? I'm really excited about this one. This one has frustrated me both as a writer and an artist from other people. So I'm really, really excited to hear your take on it.
I'm excited about this one too, because I get asked this a lot. And it seems that this is one of the things that stops people from trying to become what they want to be in their lives. Is this thing, well, what if I don't have talent, or I don't have any talent?
Then my writing, so people will tell me, like, I don't have talent. What, I'm so envious of you or whatever. And I'm like, I don't have talent either. I will pull out my old stuff from just a couple of years ago, and it looks like, if you're a teenager that took art, my stuff from a few years ago is worse than yours. So it's like, it changes people's perspective.
Right. So the first answer to the question, well, what if I don't have talent, is consider yourself lucky. You dodged a bullet. Because people who are born with talent, and there are some, and I wasn't one of them.
What was it? Mozart or Beethoven?
No, it was Mozart. Mozart was the prodigy. People who are born with talent sometimes make use of it, and sometimes, like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, go on to expand and grow and build and become magnificent and do wonderful things. But the vast majority of people who are born with talent expect that is going to be their ticket, and they don't do anything to develop it. They just say, hey, I have talent. I was born to do this. And then they wait for life to hand them the thing, the path, the contracts, or the whatever.
Yeah.
And they...
Yep. They take it for granted.
Yeah, they take it for granted and they don't use it. So for those of us who were not born with talent, and that includes me, and that includes Becky, and that includes a lot of us, where we had to work our asses off. But you know what? Because we valued what it was that we wanted to do and said, this matters to me. This is what I want to build my life around. And yes, I suck at it right now, but I am not going to suck at it forever. I am going to learn how to do this, and I am going to get good at it, and watch me.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this thing that I've heard before, is like, life gives you obstacles. When you declare something in your brain, like, I want this, then you are going to run up against obstacles. And it's up to you to prove that wrong. It's up to you to defeat the obstacles. I think it was that, not Bruce Almighty, but the second one, Evan Almighty.
I don't think I saw that one.
Okay, well, the wife of Evan is talking to God, and she was talking about, basically, she prayed for help, and Morgan Freeman tells her that if you ask for something, I'm going to give you obstacles. If you ask for strength, I'm going to give you obstacles to make you stronger.
That's
so you
nice.
Have to work at things. Yeah, yeah. I wish I remember the quote exactly, because it was so impactful. But it's just, it's exactly like that. And people tell you, you suck, be like, okay, yeah. Thanks. And keep going. That's just another obstacle. Ignore people.
Yeah. This is short, but that's what, when we split up, your father said to me, you will never make it without me.
And oh, I said, boy. Oh, yeah. Darn. He was right.
Oh, yeah? Watch
what
me.
An idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the role that talent plays in this, is that talent becomes the obstacle you have to overcome if you've got it, that you have to overcome thinking you've got it made, that you have to get your ass in the trench and work like the rest of us. You have to dig and make yourself better and discover what it is that the job, the craft, how the craft works. It, because it isn't just about being able to write beautiful, mellifluous sentences. It is about being able to understand why a story matters and or why a piece of art is good, as opposed to, you know, wiping your butt on a canvas and calling it art.
Yes.
So, yeah, not a fan of modern art, me. anyway. But that's the first thing, is if you don't have talent now, that's awesome, because you have the incentive to get good without thinking that you've already got it made. And then the second thing on this is to focus on learning writing the craft. And, you know, between us, we have learned a number of different crafts and processes and things.
Oh my
that
God,
we have.
Yes.
Yeah, we've taught ourselves, because we never had any money, and yeah. it was just a case of, well, if I want to learn how to do this, I'm going to have to dig in and learn how to do it myself. When I started writing, the first thing I had to do, I bought myself a manual typewriter, painted all the keys on it white, because when I was in high school, your job, if you had typing skills, you were going to be a secretary. This was in the 70s. And I was not going to be a secretary, so I refused to learn how to type. Okay, turns out that was not my best idea ever. So at the age
But it's cool, because it's that contrary personality.
Yes. Well, I knew what I didn't want to be.
Yes.
I did not want to sit in an office and have somebody boss me around. So then I painted all the keys white. I hung up a diagram of a regular keyboard on the wall in front of me, and I taught myself to write while writing my first novel. And it took me 8 months to learn how to type and write the first novel simultaneously.
And when you told me that story, I think I was 16 or 15. I did the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Used whiteout, taught myself to type.
Yeah, and you're a really good typist too.
Yeah, I actually got some speed in there when I'm in the flow, or if I'm doing transcriptions for you. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
And that's like YouTube is my best friend, because if I don't know something, I go to YouTube. YouTube taught me how to crochet, because I kept trying with you when I was younger, but I just didn't have the patience or the motivation. And then when I got to be 26, YouTube taught me how to crochet. YouTube taught me how to knit. YouTube taught me the different techniques in drawing. That's what I tell everybody. Everybody's like, oh my God, you have so much talent. I'm like, no, it's all skill. It's hard work. And you know what? You can do it too. Go to YouTube.
Yes.
But you didn't have that.
No, I didn't have YouTube. I had
an old sweater you took apart.
Yeah, an old sweater that I took apart. And a tendency, got one of the really good things I got from my dad was from the very beginning. He says, you know, learn to make your own tools. If you don't have a tool, learn how to make one. If there isn't a tool, invent one. But learn how systems work, so that you can then make the tools to make it easier to do them. And so my entire life I spent taking shit apart, figuring out how it worked, and then figuring out how to make it work better.
Awesome.
But the thing that you said, and I want to go back to that because it was really important, is you said, well, you know, when I was trying to learn how to crochet and you were teaching me, I didn't have the motivation.
Yes.
That, right there, that is the thing. Is you can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the motivation, the persistence, the drive to get your ass in there and get better, you're never going to do it. And you know, that sounds really down. But I have seen so many people waste talent. They just think, just waiting for the magic to fall on their heads, and it won't do it. You got
it.
If you want it, you go get it.
It's painful.
Yeah.
It's painful to see people that you know could be amazing and has just so much amazing potential, and they don't want it, and they don't want it enough. They think that they want it, but they don't, obviously, because you are what you do and not what you say. So if you're out there and you want to write and you're writing and you suck, good. You're doing amazing. You're getting better. Right. Just keep writing. You're going to get there.
Right.
Don't let anybody talk down to you or anything.
Right. But do take some time to learn the craft.
Yeah. You know,
do learn grammar. Do learn punctuation.
Fucking
do learn
grammar.
Spelling. Yeah, I know.
And that's what I tell people with art too, is you'll see people that are scared of learning or don't think they have the potential to get any better. So they say, oh, well, it's just my style. And they stick in that style forever. No, you can do anything.
Right.
If you want to do realism, just work at it. You got to learn the craft.
Yes, exactly. There are steps that you can take to learn how to do anything. And it is a concept that you have to wrap your head around, is that when you are writing fiction, you are not writing a book. A book is a bound thing with a cover and a whole bunch of pages and a shitload of words. And when your mind says, I am going to write a book, there is no way to get from here to there, because your mind is not going to be able to create the cover and the pages and the things that you are seeing when you look at that picture. If your objective is, I am going to write 250 words today, you can do that.
That's how I'm getting out of this funk caused by the depression.
Yeah.
Is telling myself, I'm not writing a book. I am just writing a scene, or I am just writing 500 words.
Right. Right. You have to break a big task. A novel is a big, big bunch of tasks. You have to break this big monolith down into little tiny pieces and then just do it one little tiny piece at a time.
And that's what you did for How to Revise a Novel too, because a revision is the same damn thing.
Yes.
It is a huge task and you don't know what to do, but you've broken it down. And if you trust the system and just do each lesson, it's amazing how it all comes together.
Right. Right. It doesn't at the beginning look like you're doing anything.
No, it doesn't. And it's frustrating because for half the revision, all you're doing is finding everything you did wrong. So it's frustrating. It's depressing. It's like, did I do anything right?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yes.
But if you do all of that work and you do every single lesson, don't skip a single one, no matter how you feel, then by the time you get to that point where you start taking action, it's so easy, or easier, you know.
Having done it the wrong way a bunch of times first.
Yeah.
Yes, it is so easier. It ain't easy. It is the toughest class I offer, and
yes.
it is absolutely brutal,
and it's the hardest thing I've ever done to myself.
Yes.
Intentionally.
But you did it and you stuck with it. And boy, did you learn from it.
Yes, I
can
did.
Tell from the thing that you wrote, man. That's, oh, yes.
And it's starting to pay off. It'll pay off for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Having done that one revision.
Having done that one. And you don't have to do it that way every single time. So anyway,
yeah.
The next thing that you do after you focus on learning the writing craft, and after you have broken this down into some small steps that you can do in a day, easily, you know, 250 words, if you sit down and you just start typing and you're not picky and critical with yourself, you can get 250 words in, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. And that can be your work for the day, man. When you're done, don't keep going. Stop. Because you reward your muse by letting it achieve things. And the only way it can achieve things is to finish them. So if you give it 250 words to write and it writes them, that's your reward. You get to be done. And then you go back and you do it again. Next day, whatever, your process. Okay, so then after that, after you get past that, then you read more. And this is a learning the craft from masters. So, but it's also learning the craft from people who really aren't there yet. You pick up and read all kinds of fiction. Read indie published stuff and published stuff and bestsellers and
different genres.
Different genres. Read everything. Because as you are reading, your brain will start picking up little turns of phrase that kind of click in the back of your mind. Little concepts. Not stuff that you want to take, but it will start growing the different tools that you need organically by you having put all of this fodder in there for it to start using. So ways that stories are told, the flow of a novel from the front end to the back end, how plots rise and fall, how conflicts work, how characters are characterized well and how they're characterized poorly. You have to see what's good and what's bad. When you read to discover what you like and why you like it and the specific parts that you love and why you love them. And it's a really good idea if you find a particular genre that you really love to buy the books used in paperback or new in paperback. I always, if I am learning a new genre, I buy the books new in paperback as a way to reward the author who's going to teach me how to do what they do. And then you read through that book and you figure out which parts are dialogue, which parts are description, which parts are conflict. You go through and you see where they, how often they do dialogue and how often they do description and how often they do characterization. And you'd see how they do it. And you mark it up with magic, with clear, what are they called? Text markers.
The highlighters.
Highlighters, thank you. Yeah, couldn't think of the name. And you mark it up and you look at it and you get this kind of gestalt where the whole comes together from all of these parts and you can see sort of this visual that your brain has built for what a novel looks like in parts. And I have done this for every genre that I wanted to learn. I did it accidentally with science fiction. I did it on purpose with fantasy. I did it on purpose with suspense romance. And with
regular romance.
And with regular romance, right. Yeah, where I went through and I tore those books apart. So that's why I bought my copies, is so I could mark them up. And that's why I bought them new, is so that the authors would get at least, you know, their 25 cents for my use of their books. And I like to think now that when I buy indie fiction and I go through it, that they are getting better than 25 cents for their work.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. And I buy, because I will buy, a couple of indie books specifically to support an author. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that I like, there's a ghost series where there's a main character. I mean, it started to fall apart because you can tell it's very formulaic and there's no overarching arc after six books. So it definitely started to fall apart. But after the first one, it wasn't perfect, but I bought the entire set up until that year. I think it was 2016. He still got a couple more out. Specifically because, you know what? He did good. He obviously worked hard on it. And I wanted to support another indie writer because we're not competition. No. We are each other's co-workers in a way, you know? We are part of a guild.
I like the term colleague.
Yeah, colleague.
That we are colleagues. And I am colleagues with indie writers and pro writers. And if you are writing fiction and you are trying to make a go at it, you are actually genuinely working at the craft and trying to make a go at it, you are my colleague too. And this is what you can do, and people don't get this. What you can do is bring new readers into the field. And when they've read your books, if they love what you've done and you aren't writing a book every 15 minutes and they're reading a book about that fast, then they are going to read other writers. Other writers are going to get your overflow while they're waiting for your next book. It's not going to cost you them. So it does not cost a writer anything to reward and appreciate other writers.
Yeah, and I never understood that, because that's exactly it. If you're good enough, if you have fans, they're going to remember you. They're going to come back.
Mm-hmm. Right. But in the meantime, they still need other stuff to read. Yeah. And if they like what you did, and you recommend other people who do things that are similar to what you did, then you are a step up for those people too. And that's, you just can't go wrong doing that. Mm-mm. That's, you are never going to hurt yourself by helping someone else. Then you write more. And this is what I was talking about a little while ago with, you just start small. You give yourself a 10-minute-a-day thing. I'm only going to write for 10 minutes, but by God, I am going to write for 10 minutes 5 days a week. I'm going to get my butt in the chair when I get home from work or before I go to work in the morning for 10 minutes, just 10 minutes. I'm just going to write some words. I'm going to write this little idea that I started to have on my story, and I'm going to just write 10 minutes on it, and that's going to be my thing. And stick with that, because you will get better. You know, if you write something, write it until it's finished, because just getting to the end gives you something then that can be fixed. If you don't finish it, you can't fix it, because I like to use the house analogy, where if you are starting to revise stuff on a story that you have not finished yet, you are painting walls in a house that has no roof. Stop that. Just stop.
Yeah.
Get the whole thing. Get the whole house built first.
And even interior design before you've gutted it and fixed everything.
Right. Well, you still got mold in there everywhere. Yes.
Gross.
Yeah. So finish the story in first draft before you change anything. And then you learn how to make it better. But revision and learning how to make it better is not a process of talent. Mm-mm. It is a process of learning what is good and teaching yourself how what you have written is not good and how it can be made good through hard work.
Yeah, it's almost like the writing part is the creative part and revision is scientific.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, it's the writing part is your right brain. It is your creative muse. It is coming in. It is having fun. It is playing on the page. And you let yourself do that without allowing the left brain, which is your editor, to come in and start crapping on your work before you've even finished it. Once it's done, you can bring your editor in. Once it's done, you can start looking at what you have done critically, but with the kindness of knowing that your objective is not to tell yourself that you're crap. Your objective is simply to learn how to make what you've done better. And that's not that hard. It's time consuming, and learning how to do it right takes significant time.
Yeah.
It took me 7 years teaching myself, and I don't recommend that process. It is a teachable, learnable skill to make your work better. And then the last thing on that is simply this: persist. Do it. Create a little schedule for yourself that is light and doable and not painful, and just go in and do your words every day and follow a project through to the ending, even if the ending sucks, and then learn to revise that project to make it better, because every revision you do makes the next thing you do easier.
And the only thing that I wanted to add is, and I see this in art more so than in writing, but writing, I think it's every creative field. We have a lot of people who are too proud to learn from others, and specifically, you know, like they take a lot of pride in, oh, well, I have never taken a class. I have never, you know, looked up tutorials. And my friend who is in the art group with me is one of those people who's very, very proud of the fact that he's never tried to learn from anybody else. But to me, I have a different mindset. I think that that's too much pride. I think that if the skills are out there from other people and they're saying, here's how you do them, and especially if they're free, because that's huge, especially if you're on budgets and stuff. Mm-hmm. But start from somewhere, but learn from other people, because you have a limited amount of time on this earth. Yes. And if you are learning skills, trying to teach yourself stuff and going around in circles, and it takes you a year to learn something that if you had watched a YouTube video or seven, it would have taken you a month or a couple of weeks. You are wasting this precious limited time that you have on this planet because of pride. Right. There is nothing wrong with saying that you learned from somebody else, that you took an online Skillshare class, or that you watched YouTube videos all day, every day for 3 weeks. This is the new kind of apprenticeship. is mm-hmm. learning from other people, you know, paying for courses, paying for lessons, taking every free bit of advice you can find, like this podcast. There is nothing wrong with learning from other people and applying that to your work so you have more time to create stuff at a higher level.
Right, right. And it isn't that if you use something somebody else has taught you, that your work will become their work. Mm-mm. You are going to bring yourself to whatever you do, no matter how you learn it. Simply shortening the curve between when you are bad, and most of us started out bad, and the point where you get good. If you can shorten that learning curve to the point where you can get good sooner, then you can start living the dream, whatever your dream is, making that your reality sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. I learned from Lisa Clough from Lockery Fine Art, and my stuff doesn't look anything like hers. I don't particularly enjoy, you know, doing a whole bunch of animals. Mm-hmm. I like doing people's cats and dogs for them, but I don't do underwater scenes. I'm not in love with, you know, doing nature scenes, and that's almost all she does. And that's not my thing. But right. She's an incredible artist and she shares everything. So why not learn? You know, it's not realizing how limited your time is on this planet. And I still look at, I went from very, very amateur work to, I think, nearly professional, you say professional, mm-hmm. work in about a year's span, maybe a little bit less.
Right.
And that makes me think I wish YouTube was around when I was a teenager, because I could have created an art career by now. You know, with the resources that are out there right now, there's no reason that you can't become an expert maybe in 5 years, something like that.
Right.
You know,
right. There are so many good resources. There are for so many different things. And talent is not where you start.
Mm-mm. So is there anything else? Do we have a takeaway or anything for people, if you want to just wrap it up real quick?
I think let's just wrap up with the quick summary there. If you don't have talent, consider yourself lucky, because you will not make the mistake of thinking that life is going to hand you something because you have talent. When you recognize that you don't know what you need to know, focus on learning the craft. When you start learning the craft, also focus on reading more, and read to discover not just what is good, but what is bad, and try to understand what makes one thing good and the other thing bad. And realize that even your subjective definitions of this count, because what you love needs to be what you make. And if you love something that everybody else hates, go ahead and do it anyway, because you are not the only person in the world who loves that.
Yes.
Write more. Just write regularly. That's if you have 5 days a week where you can sit down for 10 minutes, then sit down for 10 minutes and write 5 days a week. If you only have weekends, but you can give yourself an hour broken up over a period of different little short sessions during a weekend, then give yourself those short sessions. Build your muscles. You start with one push-up. You don't start with 1,000. So start small. Be kind to yourself. Be willing to forgive yourself for screwing up, for not writing something perfect, because when you start, you don't. It's just writing. It's just building the muscles and learning what's good. And once you have the muscles and you know what's good, then you can start making some really cool stuff. So finally, persist. Don't quit. Believe in yourself. Know that it does not take talent to do this. It takes a hell of a lot of hard work. But that if you want it, you can do the hard work. You can learn the craft. You can do this.
Awesome. Awesome. This was a really cool episode. Okay, so just wrapping it up, you can follow us on all of the socials. That is Instagram and Twitter. That is @AIARWIP. You can also search the hashtags Alone with Invisible People or Alone in a Room with Invisible People. We're on Facebook at Alone in a Room with Invisible People. And you can look up our website at alonewithinvisiblepeople.com. If you want to leave, notes or nice little messages or something, you can go to alonewithinvisiblepeople.com, find this episode and leave your note there. But if you want to join in on the conversation and be a part of the community that we're building, go to hollyswritingclasses.com, create a free account, and join in to the forum. It's very clearly labeled. It's our podcast forum. And we would love to hear from you. We would love to have you as part of the discussion. We also have a offer that we're still doing. It's 2 ebooks for the iTunes reviews. So if you leave us an iTunes review, just send us an email. You can send us a screenshot, but we will verify that review was left by you, and then we will send you the free ebooks. Holly's is called Squick Studies. It's set in settled space. Mine is called Good Bones, and it's a paranormal story. We also have a Patreon account. It is new. It was suggested by our listeners. So if you are interested in supporting, we have several tiers, all of them pretty low. We appreciate all the support that we are getting. You know, if you can't give, don't feel obligated. It's no big deal. But if you want to, we would really appreciate it. Currently, there are no rewards for our patrons, but that will be changing.
We're trying to figure those out.
Yeah, trying to figure them out. And Holly's extremely busy, so I don't want anything to take any extra time off of her because she's got crazy hour long days anyway. And lastly, you can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. So that's it. And hope you guys have a great week.
Yes. And don't worry about the talent. Just do the work.
And happy Thanksgiving.
All right, happy Thanksgiving.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
You want to write, you love words, you love fiction, but you don't know where to start, or how to middle, or where to finish. I do. I'm Holly Lyle, and I've been doing this professionally since 1991. And I know how I did what I did to go pro, and I'll be happy to show you what I've learned. Start with my free 3-week flash fiction class at hollyswritingclasses.com.